children of Israel were afraid. Their Ark of Covenant was taken, and they thought they trusted God through the Ark of Covenant, and it was taken by Philistines, and they all hope was lost. But God wanted to show the Israelites God's love and blessing is not limited to the Ark of Covenant. And he was coming back. And covenant, Ark of Covenant was coming back. But what God really wanted to see was the worship, spirit of worship coming back, you know? And David was so happy. He was dancing around the covenant, you remember? And he danced so much, his underwear was showing. And his own wife was mocking him. And you know what he said? He said, I did that in God's presence. I did that in front of God. I think we need to see that spirit. It doesn't matter what we are here. It doesn't matter who you next to you. It doesn't matter in spite of coronaviruses all around. It doesn't matter. It's not all around. It's a spirit of deception, a spirit of destruction. And we just need to see God's love and God's blessing is not limited. Not limited. He's still the same God. You know what God is saying today to you? Though you walk through the valley of shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. His rod, his staff, they comfort me. You need to realize this coronavirus thing is only a shadow. It's only a shadow cannot hurt you. Shadow cannot hurt you. We just need to see. We just need to see. All of us need to see. You know, armies of Aram was all surrounded. They were eating their own children. And the word of the Lord spoke. It says, by this time tomorrow, the cost of grain will be one shekel. We don't even see the bathroom toilet papers around here. It doesn't matter. By this time tomorrow, I don't know when the tomorrow is, it's going to be like, what, $5 as it used to be. It's only a shadow. Turn your eyes on Jesus. Focus your eyes to the heavens. There's an open heaven out for you. And pour out your blessing, and His blessing is on you. Lift your eyes, lift your hands to heaven and say, Lord, we receive your blessing. Lord, we receive your protection. Lord, you are the same God. Same yesterday, same today, same tomorrow. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to you because you are the same God. Your protection never ceases. We acknowledge we are in your presence. We worship you, Lord, just like we danced before you today. We want to be like a tree planted by the stream of water, unmovable. Lord, we are here worshiping you. World around us think they are afraid. We are not afraid. There's no fear in you, Lord, only by the grace of God. Thank you, Lord. Receive our worship. In Jesus' name, we receive this offering to you, Lord. Thank you. Receive this offering in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Michael. Offering is going around, and if you are visiting with us, welcome. Don't feel obligated to give. We just are glad you are here. Worshiping with us, and this is what the next 3 weeks looks like. I need to take some time out and kind of coach us on some areas and talk about how ambiguous the next 3 weeks is, meaning we don't know everything that's going to come to pass. Dennis already reported to me that Thursday one of our food pickups canceled, so our food bank will not be as normal. we will be here, and we will probably, if nothing else, have lunch together and pick up garbage around the neighborhood, but we most likely will not have the food that we usually have or the capacity we usually have to serve people. So we'll see how the Lord provides, but again, those kind of things are going to be happening. They're going to be happening quickly in the sense that we don't necessarily have the ability to plan more than a couple days ahead. So a couple things I want you to be aware of. Number one, prayer. This is who we are. We are a church that prays, and that's why we decided to continue all our services. Even if there's 10 people here, that's okay. Be blessed. The point being, the doors will be open, and we are going to be a voice in the heavenlies, contending against this virus and contending against things like Pastor Michael just shared, fear, and praying for our neighbors, even our unbelieving neighbors, that this could be a time of salvation. It's interesting, the timing of this, and I don't want to speak to that directly too much, although I think you probably suspect, because there's a lot of really prophetic people in this room, that as God moves, boy, the enemy pulls out some dirty, rotten tricks. And it seems like he's stooping low, which is his MO. But the point being, God is moving. God is doing something. And that's what we need to tune into and really be aware of. Now, I shared this last week, so I'm not going to spend time. You've probably heard this a lot, other than the emphasis I wanted to make last week is remember the saints everywhere. Our country is now infected, and as of Friday, the president declared a state of emergency. But remember, especially Europe seems to be a real trouble spot. Italy is still behind this curve and suffering, and so there are Christians there. There are missionaries there. Kathy just texted the missions base we work with in Kona last night, and they're kind of responding back to us saying, yeah, everything is more difficult in sending outreach teams and missionaries around the world. So remember, as a church that prays, God has commanded us to pray for the saints everywhere. Some have it way, way worse than you and I do. But again, remember kind of, I guess they've reduced it to the five. I don't know if I can remember them. One, wash your hands, especially fingernails and the web of your hands. And I learned this week why soap is so much better. Apparently the virus, the outer skin is like a fat, and soap breaks that down. So whereas your hand sanitizers don't. So those are good as a second choice. And you'll notice in the church, they've added some hand sanitizing stations, so feel free, that's for you. Use those often, but nothing beats good old soap and water. And so really pay attention to that, yeah. Cough into your elbow. If you're showing symptoms, stay home, and please be blessed, understand. We're working and going to be working, trying to get live stream options for our services, but we have audio gets uploaded every service, so you can always hear the service if you missed it. So, all right, there's a couple things I'm going to talk to you about, and before I do, let me show you kind of the motivation. I showed you the map of the world. This is a map of our country, and guess who's number one in cases, first case, first death? Washington State. So I'm glad that we're leaders, not in this category. I wanted to be leaders in God's Spirit pouring out, in revival, in salvations. But again, maybe the rotten tricks of the enemy is knows that as well. So we'll see. But obviously, as of Friday, things have changed, and our state is under the microscope, so to speak, being right now the most cases, New York number two, California number three, but our population is a lot less compared to those two places, so the fact that we are leading in most cases is in every category. The cool thing is this morning I listened to one of our first, I was a young woman that got a positive in Washington State, is now totally recovered. And she was on the news talking about how good she feels, and yeah, I was miserable for 2 weeks, you know, basically the flu, and but she is totally recovered and basically was 90% recovered before she even got tested. So the treatments are the same, you know, rest, plenty of fluids, all of that. But the concept I want you to think about for a minute is time, because this has been part of my prayer language before the Lord for a while now. God, give us more time. Well, when there's a pandemic, time is actually on our side. So if we can slow down the advance of the pandemic, guess what? That gives time for more people to recover, gives time for things like vaccinations and treatments to come online. So time is a great strategy. And I shared the 2 Timothy verse with you last Sunday, and there's one emphasis I want to make this Sunday. I didn't realize how prophetic this was. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. I think we know that. Praise God for our amazing worship. I feel better just after the worship. I don't know about you, but man, that's and you know, in my mind, I'm jumping up and down and stomping on fear the way Goliath is jumping up and down and stomping. I'm moving like that in my mind, okay? No one hold a mirror in front of me, all right? That's not the point, but kind of vicariously, I'm stomping on fear the way she is. So, man, amen. This is one of our spiritual weapons and very important. But here's the prophetic part of this verse last week. We know fear is not of God. We know we have authority and victory over fear. But this is how we're supposed to move, church. We're supposed to move in power. We're supposed to move in love and self-discipline. And I'm going to talk to you about all three, because we're going to need all three for at least the next 3 or 4 weeks. I don't know how long, but for now, again, as of the rules being changed Friday, we need to think differently in all three categories. Number one, love. Love has to be our highest goal. So if someone disagrees or someone doesn't think the way we think or someone is, you know, that's okay. We love them. Don't be critical. Don't be judgmental. Christians, you're going to be accused of that no matter what. But let's just double check our hearts and make sure there's not a spirit of criticism or judgment in our hearts. Because if there is, it will come out in your body language. It will come out as you are trying to share and care for someone, especially someone that may think differently of you. And as I said earlier at the beginning of the service, I'm very grateful that our government is doing what they are doing. They're working hard on this. And health organizations, Kathy and I actually happen to be volunteer members of the emergency health response in this area, so we get their emails and have for years. And so I know they've been preparing and working hard for, guess what, a pandemic. That's always been number one on their list. So whatever you hear people complaining, we happen to know that there are people that are very faithful and have been working very hard when the rest of us go, what? Nah, that's no big deal. Well, they've known that it's always a potential. And so they're as prepared as I believe they can be, according to the information I've been receiving being on the volunteer corps. So with that said, I want us to think about a couple things about how we need to do services here. Now, number one, our governor made a proclamation, and there it is for those of you that want to look it up, but it's pertaining to gatherings of 250 or more. So it's kind of the benefit of us not being a large ministry. We're under that radar. So I usually don't celebrate that and say thank you, God, but I'm kind of thanking God for that right now. There are some ministries that are going to have a really difficult time, a lot more difficult than us, that kind of have room to spread out and room to pay attention to this. So let's pray for saints everywhere, including the large ministries in our country that are now scrambling and trying to figure out what to do. So with that said, even though there's nothing that pertains to us specifically, we want to be prudent. We want to understand how viruses get transmitted and what we can do just to be smart and prudent. All right, so I want to explain this term, which you're probably hearing a lot now. It's called social distancing. And Freedom River Outreach, this is really important to us. We are not talking about emotional distancing, and we are not talking about spiritual distancing. What we are talking about is just space. And the idea is that's how viruses get transmitted, as in when people are packed together and in close proximity. And the rule of thumb seems to be 6 feet. If you're 6 feet away from somebody, even if they sneeze, it seems like I know people that can sneeze further than 6 feet. But if you're an average person and an average sneeze, you're probably okay, right? And if they cover it, if they're sneezing into their elbow, that's the best. But I wanted to explain this because, listen, here's the idea. We'll be doing our part out of love for each other and submission to our state authorities starting Thursday's service until notified. Remember, this is, it's one thing to say you love your neighbor, but then like, oh, who cares? I got faith. And you know what? I think it would break your heart to know if you transmitted a virus to somebody that was more vulnerable than you. So when we say we want to move in love and love our neighbor, that means I need to take responsibility for the other. And the awkwardness of all of this, I think I have the list. Let me get here. Okay, maintain our 6 feet distance from each other. That's not today. So we're not starting that today. I already hugged half of you and shaked everyone's hand. But the point being Thursday, that's about 3 chairs in between all of us. Yeah, so if you're doing that, don't feel rejected. I'll print out a whole bunch of rejection worksheets if you are. You can pray through it. If you're saying, no one wants to say. That's just to care for each other. That's to care for the other person. Obviously, that does not apply to families, right? You live with them. If my wife and I were sitting together, it's too late for us. But the point being, for others, and here's part of my strategy. It's very important that we keep meeting in my mind. As I prayed, the Lord said, throw this virus into the sea. Now, if I don't take that seriously and I say, oh, I'm going to stay home or, I'm going to do this, just me, myself, and I don't know about you, but that's a reference to the Egyptian army, which was the world's greatest army at the time that the Israelites had exodus out of Egypt. So when I heard that reference, I immediately knew we needed an army to throw this enemy into the sea. And so we don't get a day off. We don't get to just say, hey, it's easier not to meet, because by the way, it would be easier not to meet, right? That would be the easy route. But we have a call, church, and it's to fight the enemy. And again, we'll let the government do what they're doing. We'll let the medical people do what they're doing. But there is the most powerful prong that we cannot forget, and that is the men and women of faith that can pray and can pray against this enemy. Because, you could do all the social distancing. You could wipe down all the surfaces, which we will do, and still not be protected. So the point being, we need to pray. All right, this is the hard one, and we're not going to enforce this strictly or legalistically other than I put this up here because you need to understand if someone leaves you hanging, meaning you're trying to shake their hand and they're not shaking your hand, don't be offended. That's just social distancing. And they might have been struggling with symptoms. They might be in the category, which I'm right on the verge of that category. And so, let them make that decision and respect that for them. The hard part of this becomes the awkwardness in kind of being in the other person's mind and what are they thinking. That's why I want to talk about it as a congregation. If we all understand, you're like, oh yeah, no problem, and wave, all right? We happen to do the Korean wave here, which is both hands, okay, not just the one. It's like, yeah, both, that's it. Yeah, you got it, that's the Korean. So just do that to each other. It's like, okay, all right. The Wuhan, I think Dave came in here, but he was showing us the, yeah, David, you're in the very, very back. The Wuhan shake is basically what? Bumping feet. Okay. The idea is, I don't know how to do that, but when I walk by Dave, I'll get a lesson. The point being, the upper body is what transmits a virus into where it wants to go, and that's our sinuses and our lungs. So this is where it wants to live. And our lower body, not so much. But that's why washing hands is a big deal, because then you touch your face. Oh, yeah, that's supposed to be on the list. Don't touch your face. I don't share that one, because every time I hear that, my eye itches, my ear itches. You know, I want to touch my face. Drives me crazy. So, but that's the idea, is that's how it simply gets transmitted. Upper body transfers into sinuses, nostrils, whatever. So be aware of that. If you want to shake my hand, I will shake your hand. If you want to hug me, I will hug you. Just be aware, I'm the pastor, and if even half the church does that, I'm probably the petri dish of every kind of, you know what I mean? Everything is swimming around. So, you know, wait 3 weeks. And then we'll hug and shake hands or whatever it is. So, but that's how it works. And this is, you'll love this source. It's called Flattening the Curve. You may hear this as well. And I actually, former President Obama tweeted this. And so I took it off of his Twitter feed, because I'm also going to share our president's Twitter feed, and I thought this would balance things out. So the point being of this chart is that when there's a virus, this is the number of cases here. The point is, when it gets transmitted and transmitted quickly, it quickly raises above. This line here is the health system's ability to care for people. And that's where danger happens, and that's where people, frankly, will die from flu symptoms, because they won't get the necessary emergency treatment if the symptoms get that severe. So that earlier when I said about time, even if we can slow this down to the number of cases to be in this curve, you can see it will run its course and stay under our ability to care with just the present healthcare system. So that's just a visual idea of what social authorities are trying to do to protect us. They're just trying to slow this down. Nothing in itself stops it, but if we can slow the spread down, it's going to be to a huge, huge advantage. So, starting on Thursday service, let's try to keep 3 empty chairs between us and others. We got room. That's the good news in here. We can spread out. And for some of you, this is going to be good for you, because I happen to notice you have your favorite place that you do not move from. So this will create a little bit of change in your life, right? Does Newbridge do that too? I mean, people sit in their same place. It's like, they're okay. I kind of like it, because as a pastor, I know if you are missing, because you're not seating in your sitting in your assigned seat. So I'm going to have to forget that, you know, next week when you're spread out a little bit. I'm like, oh, where's the, oh, there they are. Okay, good. Whew. All right. So again, we're not going to be legalistic on this. You know, ministries larger than us are really struggling with this, because now all of a sudden they don't have room. It's, again, praise God that we can still come, we can still meet, we can pray. Freedom River Outreach, take this one seriously. Help us check on people who live alone or in a vulnerable category. Okay, that's basically anyone over 60, anyone with compromised immune system or respiratory issues, underlying respiratory systems. Please, I don't know everybody, somebody you know, you may be that lifeline to them, and just call them, okay? Just check in on them. That's all we're saying. If you don't want to do it, give it to me. I'll do it. I'll call them. Kathy and I went through a list and called people that we felt were on that category that we knew and just said hi and just checked in on them and made sure they're okay. But in a pandemic, again, this is where things get dangerous, is because people are isolated. You know, they might be doing that by choice or they might not, and nobody tends to check on them, and we get into trouble. Here's an example, and I'll have to tell you, I'm taking a lot of influence off a ministry that we highly respect in Kansas City, International House of Prayer. And I don't know their attendance, but it's thousands, and they're really struggling with how do they space people out in the prayer room, how do they space people out in their corporate meetings. But they showed this statistic on their service Friday. Kathy and I listened in, and it was really fascinating. And it's a difference between two cities. And this goes back to the 1918 Spanish flu, which, by the way, in our country, that's the last pandemic we've had here. And over 20 million people died worldwide of the Spanish flu, more than World War I killed on both sides, military and civilian combined. So, you know, you may kind of poo-poo this and think, oh, no big deal, but I'm kind of glad our social authorities are taking it seriously, because look at the difference of what potentially can happen here. This is, again, 1918 in America. This is Philadelphia. 900 miles away is St. Louis. Now, Philadelphia, the outbreak came, and in all fairness, it was pre-World War I, and the news was being encouraged not to report everything that was going on. It's why it became known as the Spanish flu, is because Spain was not in World War I, and their reporters reported on this pandemic. And so people just started calling it the Spanish flu because they're the only ones talking about it. But civil authorities in our country knew about it and were encouraged to shut down public events. But Philadelphia, being as patriotic as they were, had a parade where 20,000 people showed up to this parade, and they all got together. And St. Louis instead said, no, let's close down large gatherings. Let's not do this. And look at the difference between these two cities 900 miles away. This is Philadelphia. And by the way, these are deaths per 100,000. So this is serious. Philadelphia paid the price in not only cases, but how many people died, whereas St. Louis was able to write it out a little easier. So that's kind of the only history, which again isn't history for any of us. Nobody was around in 1918, right? Nobody's that old here. All right. Yeah, but it's what people are looking at as that are making these decisions. Now, one of my friends, Rory Padgett Wilkes, he lives in the UK. I saw this on his website this morning, and it's a little flyer he's encouraging all the Christians around him to hand out. And as leaders, we're going to talk about this Tuesday, because we're in outreach, and we're going to look for ways to turn this into a win-win. Amen. And I thought this was really clever. It's basically, you drop this on your neighbor's porch. It says, hello, if you are self-isolating, I can help. My name is, and then you fill in your name. I live locally at, you know, put your address a couple doors down from you. My phone number is. If you are self-isolating due to COVID-19, I can help with. And we're going to reprint this, but this is the way someone in England would say it. Picking up shopping, a friendly phone call, I mean, we could say that, but posting mail, we talk a little different, and urgent supplies. Just call or text, and I'll do my best to help you for free. And then down here, it's just a little warning that says, coronavirus is contagious. Please take every precaution to ensure you are spreading only kindness. I love that. Let's spread only kindness. Let's spread love. So keep that in the forefront of your mind. Avoid physical contact, 2M distance, you know, the metric system, those guys. I know, it's the king's, let's not get off on that. Wash your hands regularly. Items should be left on doorsteps. So we're going to tailor one of these for us, but I thought it was a great idea. I actually have a couple extra forms. If you want to do one for your neighbors or where you live or something, come up front afterwards and I'll give you one, or you can make a handwritten one, or you could wait a week until we print ours. But I foresee we may do something with the little bit of food we do get with some of the communities around the church, where we deliver the food or leave it on their doorstep, to help people that might be trying to self-isolate. All right. All that to get to here. This is our role. This is who we are. And President Trump tweeted this Friday after he declared a state of emergency. It is my great honor to declare Sunday, March 15th, that's today, as a national day of prayer. We are a country that throughout our history has looked to God for protection and strength in times like these. And then he tweeted right after that, no matter where you may be, I encourage you to turn towards prayer in an act of faith. Together, we will easily prevail. And I was so glad to see that. I was super encouraged by that, because a country that turns its back on God and says, hey, we're going to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps, and we got science, we got technology, that's a country whose society is on the way out. This encourages me that our highest office recognizes the church and the body of Christ, men and women of faith, have a role to play, and that is us. So here are some verses. We're going to do this. And again, I took a few liberties because when Kathy and I were praying this week, we heard these things. And so I want to share them kind of through my lens, through what we heard specifically. Number one, God is moving. We already established that. But remember, God is triumphant. And I love this illustrator's effect of this is like the Exodus. 5 million people, men, women, and children, leaving the most powerful country on earth at the time, Egypt. And guess what? During the day, they're guided by God in this pillar of smoke. Wouldn't that have been cool? And at night, that was fire. Well, we're guided the same way. We are guided by God. And remember, God is the one that says, he is the one that delivered his people from slavery. And Isaiah 65:24 says, I will answer them before they even call to me. While they are still talking about their needs, I will go ahead and answer their prayers. I want to remind you, God is working on this before, during, and after us. And God already knows. So this human divine partnership is crazy. But God says for his people to pray and for us to believe. And I, for one, want to do my part. I want to do my role. But don't forget, we are engaging on the king who puts earthly rulers on their thrones and removes them, by the way. Jesus says this, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Now, this is hard because as an American, my worldview, I have a lot of confidence in our country being a world power, and has been for several decades now. But I have to be careful that I'm not trusting in these earthly entities. I'm a citizen of a different kingdom. I'm a citizen of heaven first. I'm an American after that. So I put this in just as a check for all of us. Jesus says, what do you trust? Well, I trust a vaccine. I trust medicine. No, you know what? I trust you, God. And I trust Jesus Christ as the true Son of God. That's where my salvation is. And that's where my trust is, 100%. All these other things, yes, we're going to do. We're going to be prudent. We're going to be smart. This is out of Exodus, again, based on what we received prophetically. They said to Moses, and this is, by the way, when the people were led. I mean, man, what a cool sight. And all the miracles, the plagues, everything that got them released from Egypt, these people firsthand saw the power of God. Amen. You know what? We have seen firsthand the power of God. Amen.
Don't forget what you have already seen, what you have already experienced. If you are in this room, odds are God has already delivered you from your slavery. He's already marched you out of the country. So things are tough. Now, this is maybe a misnomer, and I'm sorry if this wasn't made clear to you, but sometimes when we accept Christ, we think, oh, now life is a bed of roses. You know, I won't have any hardship ever again. Not the case. And I'm sorry if that wasn't made clear to you, but I'm making it clear to you now. The difference is you are not alone. Amen. The difference is you will be victorious. Amen. And you are going to go through a hardship now with a new power. And that's not you. It's going to be a power of the Holy Spirit in you. So I don't know about you, but we're going through hardships no matter what. I'd rather go through hardship with Christ than by myself, and with his power and authority than with my own craziness. So they've already been delivered from their slavery, but now they're stuck next to the Red Sea, and the Egyptian army comes after them, which again, number one power, world power at the time. And so they start complaining to Moses, and you'll love this. This is the sarcastic tone. Was it because there were no graves in Egypt you brought us to the desert to die? Like, there's no way out, okay? We're out here now. We can see the Red Sea, which is huge, by the way. We can see this army, which is also huge. There's no options. So very sarcastic to Moses. Did you bring us out here? We could have died back in Egypt. What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Okay, they were begging to come out of Egypt before this, right? Okay, boy, human nature has not changed much, has it? Wow, we are, I don't know about you, but I recognize me in there. I recognize some of the whininess. All right. Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you'll never see again." And I went to this reference because when I was praying against the coronavirus, that's what the Lord said, throw it into the sea. And I think of this moment in history, and I wish we would have had video back then because I would have loved to see just everything that looks like. But number one, I would love to see Moses' face because I know he was standing there looking at the Red Sea. He was seeing that army come down. He was listening to the people whining. And I think he got this smile on his face like, this is going to be good. God, what are you going to do? I have no idea. There are no more options. I mean, and Moses was an outdoors guy. I mean, Moses was a stud. He was, you know, if there would have been an option, you know, he would have thought of it. But he was at that place where God had to show up. And that's not a bad place to be. And church, we're at that place, not only for us and our families, but for our neighbors. And we need to care for them. And I hope you have this kind of this subtle smile on your face that goes, this is going to be good. I don't know what God's going to do, but he's going to do it. He's working on it. He's got a plan. And of course, when the Red Sea parts, Moses goes, oh, yeah, I didn't even know that was an option. If I would have known that was an option, I would have prayed for it. But hey, come on, gang, let's walk across this dry land where it was water before. Man, yeah, it's going to be that obvious to us. It's like, okay. Well, again, it's a prophetic word, so weigh it. But I really took a lot of encouragement when the Lord said, throw it into the sea. It's we don't know the options other than we don't have to fear it. God has already provided a way for us to walk across safely. So, let's do it. All right. So, and here's just a couple more psalms. This poor man called. You may think, well, I'm not much of a prayer. Man, Psalm 34 might encourage you. The Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. John 5:17, but Jesus replied, my Father is always working, and so am I. So let's stand together. We're going to do this right now because President Trump declared this, and
tomorrow we'll do the social distancing, okay? Today you can get in small groups, 5 or 6. Let's not hold hands, all right? Let's practice. But you can kind of curve around into small groups. And for just 4 or 5 minutes, can we pray for our families, our neighbors, our unsaved friends, loved ones, for our state? And if you have time, you can radiate out there. But church, this is, our president said, pray. We're going to pray. So again, you come to Freedom River Outreach, it's not just spectator sport here. You actually have to do some work. So why don't you take about 5 minutes and pray in small groups just for faith, for this virus to be thrown into the sea, and then Pastor Michael is going to come up and kind of close us. I'm sorry to interrupt, but one thing that came up, Marcia leads our prayer ministry here, and the prayers we have in this church, if you only knew, we have atomic weapons in here. I mean, it's amazing. It is powerful. So I have all the confidence just from being in a prayer session with them. But one of the things they want to do is come around and anoint all of us to pray. So if you hold your hand out, there's about a dozen of us or so that are going to just dab a little oil on your hand. And that's just to say you have the authority, the calling from God to throw this and every disease into the sea. By the way, I'm praying that not only coronavirus, but you may be here carrying some other infirmity and have for a long time. You're going to be healed of that as well. And as specifically as we are praying, we are going to broaden it to say, God, healing is healing, and we want the full meal deal. We want healing head to toe, inside, outside. Emotional, certainly, yes. Spiritual, yes. Healing over the minds. But I don't care what infirmity it is, God, we want healing. And Cindy led us in this earlier, and it was very powerful. So, okay.
There's something. While we were praying, while we were worshiping, God was showing me that somebody has fear of somebody having liver issues. I don't know if the grandma or somebody in the house, liver issues, and God was just saying that do not fear that person's going to be healed, and just trust that.
All right, so as we come by, just understand this is what's going on. Optional, you don't have to accept this, but it's just anointing oil to say you are more powerful than you think, and your prayers will make history. Heavenly Father, we thank you for victory in this room. We thank you that you are triumphant. You are the one that set us free. You delivered us from our slavery. And you did this, God, for a reason. Now, former slaves, former nobodies, are now world changers, anointed by the power of the living God to make history. So, Lord, we are standing in our corner of the country, our state, number one for all the wrong reasons right now. But God, we want to make it number one for all the right reasons. We want to see your name high and lifted up, Jesus. We want to proclaim your salvation here. So Lord, I thank you for the prayers, the powerful men and women in this room. Bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, as you return to your seat, one thing I want to remind you of. We do have a Twitter account, FroInfo. So if more people follow it, I'll post more. So, and that might be the fastest way to know what we're doing for services and things like food bank and men's and women's ministries and things like that. So it's at Fro, F-R-O, info, I-N-F-O. Also, we have a webpage, freedomriver.net, all right, N-E-T. .net. So freedomriver1word.net. We will also keep that up to date, and right on the front page will be announcements as to what we're doing. So we took all of Pastor Michael's time, but he's going to do like a 10-minute introduction in what we're going to hear next week. How about that?
Notice he said 10 minutes. But it was always amazing when we are able to come before the presence of God and be able to pray. Because you know what? It's not empty words, because our Heavenly Father actually listens. Amen. To every word. Isn't it amazing? He's like, all of us is praying, and in our puny mind, we think, how can he hear all this? But he listens to us just as if there's nobody else in the world but you. He listens to every groan, every groaning, every sigh, every little thing that you think it's important to God. So praise the Lord, right? That's why we love him, because he is amazing God. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice, rejoice. Take joy, my King. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. In what you hear, may it be a sweet, sweet sound. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Amen. I want to sing for the last 10 minutes if I can. But I want to just do the quick introductions to conviction-driven life. It's Acts 21:21. We are already 21st chapter of Acts. And let me just read a couple verses and we'll just jump right into it, because it looks like I'm going to be, we'll probably finish this portion, 14 verses, by next week. But it says, now it came to pass that when we had departed from them and set sail, running a straight course we came to Kos, the following day to Rhodes, and from there to Patara. And finding a ship sailing over to Phoenicia, we went aboard and set sail. When we had sighted Cyprus, we passed it on the left, sailed to Syria, and landed at Tyre, for there is a ship was to unload her cargo. And finding disciples, we stayed there 7 days. They told Paul through the Spirit not to go up to Jerusalem. Now, if you think about this, what possible message can you come from? I went here, I went there, I went there. Anybody can tell me, if you, and this is in the Bible, what possibly spiritual lesson is there? But there is. As I dig into it, that's the first question I ask. Lord, what is it that you want me to say about this portion? But there is. Let me just get to this, right? And this is where we are, right? This is where he departed from. You know, there's a little word, Ephesus. Before the 21st chapter, Paul left and said goodbye to Ephesian elders. Remember? Ephesian elders. And that's where he left, right here. And from here, and Kos, this is Kos, and Rhodes, and Patara, and pass it on the left, right? And get to Tyre. Right? So he's ending his third missionary journey. Remember that, third missionary journey. And can you tell me how much have you traveled? Have anybody traveled through the United States, across the state? Oh yeah, we see a lot of people. I've done cross country for like 4 times, from Miami to Los Angeles, Los Angeles to Miami, to Atlanta to Los Angeles, you know, and Los Angeles to Seattle. And I mean, United States is a pretty big country. And when you drive, if you drive by Texas, it's just straight road, I-10, forever. Same road, you just fall asleep over and over again. But that's, no matter where you are, and take cross country, but at best, 3,000 miles, right? 3,000 miles. Maybe 4 if you do like L shape. But imagine Apostle Paul walking 10,000 miles on foot, 10,000 miles. If I tell you, you need to walk from Miami to Los Angeles, what would you say? And you'll say, there's some professional you need to see, right? But he did that. He did that. Why would he do that? Why wouldn't anyone do that? And he had his life devoted to that. Why? One thing, because he had conviction. Conviction. That's what's in these verses. We see life of the Paul that's full of conviction. And I think we need to get that. I think God is trying to speak to us that you need to get this conviction, if you believe that Jesus Christ has saved you from sin, and we just said, we saw miracles, and if he delivered you from the darkness into the light, how many of you can lift your hands up and say, God has delivered me? Amen. All around the room. Praise the Lord. God definitely delivered me. I remember where I came from. And I was thinking, I remember when I didn't have an address. How many of you can say that? I remember I did not have an address. I was not employable. I remember I'm thinking my life was over. But God delivered me from that. Only God can do that. And if that's not a miracle, I saw the pillar of cloud and the fire and Lord direct me through the darkness into the light. Amen. And when that happened, and we can take different steps. And if you believe that God has done that, you should have conviction. You should have conviction in your life. If you don't, there's something wrong with you. There's something wrong with you. You should see a professional. I'm just kidding. All right. Anyway, let me just get to the next thing, right? All right. It's a Paul's third missionary journey. Right? First one, it says, came to pass that when we had departed from them and set sail, we just read that. So, and they sail along the shoreline, first of all, and it just suggests that they were on a small boat. On the shoreline, they visit here and there. They don't have to be in a larger boat, but on the following verses, 2-4, they were on the larger boat. Remember, they need to go on the Tyre, passing the Cyprus on the left, and go all the way there. They needed to be on the larger boat. And verses, I was going to read all that, but let me just. They took up 7 days to unload the ship. 7 days. Apostle Paul stayed there for a while. Verse 1, departed. Now, I just want to stay there for want to talk about it just for a second. And verse 1 says, departed. And when I look up in the Greek word, it's breaking apart. So it's a kind of strong word, strong expression. When they left Ephesus, they had to break apart the meeting. That's the expression. So it was difficult. You know, it was very difficult to say goodbye to Ephesians elders. And because Paul knew he wasn't coming back. How did he know? Paul knew, you will not see my, remember the last chapter 20, he says, you will not see my face no more. I will not see you again. I know in my spirit, I will not come back. So they were very sad, but Paul knew. Why? You know, it's kind of amazing because I remember when my mom was alive, she's still alive with the Lord, but when she used to tell me, and that just about a month or two before she was gone to be with the Lord, all the things she said, she kind of knew her life was ending. Because she's saying very important things that she didn't say throughout her life, and it was kind of preparing for her for departure. So anyway, Paul knew his life was ending, his ministry was ending, because Bible says in every city, Holy Spirit testify, right? Oh, there's a tribulation, there will be imprisonment. Paul knew. So it's kind of important for us to understand that. And he had a mission. Throughout this 14 verses of the 21st chapter of Acts, I see it, you know, a lot of times I read it right through. You know, remember, I just read it through the verse 1-4 really quick, and there wasn't really a whole lot of spiritual lessons there. And then Paul went across to, you know, Patara and then Tyre. All right, Lord, I'm so grateful I read that in the Bible, and what are you trying to tell me? Right? He went here to there. And it is amazing to see this man burning up his life for a cause, for a purpose, because he had a conviction. I just want to end today with that thought, right? This is going to be an introduction anyway, right? This amazing chapter will just reveal to all of us how much this man was just refused to live any other way but for the Holy Spirit. He knew if you think about that for a second, and you're praying and Holy Spirit saying, you're going to get arrested on next city. Maybe that was a devil talking. No, let me just pray again. And then the Holy Spirit just say, you're going to be beaten on the next city. I mean, wouldn't you be scared?
Yeah, that's right.
Wouldn't you be afraid? I mean, we are afraid over this coronavirus. The Holy Spirit is saying to Apostle Paul that he's going to be imprisoned. He's going to be cast into dungeons. His life will be ending. And here is a man who can sit down with the Ephesian elders and embrace their neck and pray and say a blessing for them. And there's a confirmation of that, and you will see on this chapter. You know, when you go back and read the chapter through and understand what would possibly go on in the minds of Paul, and when you hear all these warnings, what would you do? What would you do? And that's how powerful this conviction is. This conviction, we'll just have to do this. I remember this girl, story of this girl, this 19-year-old girl, you know? And she said she heard it clearly that she was sent to this tribe of cannibal. I mean, people eating people. She said, I need to go over there, preach the gospel to these people. And parents are stopping her. Parents, they said, no, you heard it wrong. You heard it from the devil, you know. She said, no, I heard it. I know I need to go. I know I need to go. So she fought with the parents for a year and a half, and she was miserable, and she had to go. They finally gave up because she's already 19. They couldn't stop her legally. So she went over there, dropped by the helicopter of this tribe. And the helicopter pilot says, I will pick you up. I'll come back to pick you up in 90 days. And I hope you're here. And he was crying, because he thinks, I know you're not going to last 2 days here, right? When he came back in 90 days after, look and behold, there was her and whole other people around her. And I want to tell you this story, because if I have to, I'm out of time. But let me just say this. They had a legend from this cannibals, you know. They had a legend. Someday, God will come down in the form of birds and speak life into them, and they are going to be a great nation. And everybody saw this lady, this girl, coming down from the helicopter and walk straight to them. And she is saying, you know, God loves them. Everyone except Jesus Christ, their personal Savior. Isn't that great? God makes wonders. Amen. Don't be afraid. Conviction. God always works through your conviction. When you have faith, faith will complete that conviction. And conviction, no one can take that away from you. And you will be unstoppable. You'll be unmovable. Amen. Like a tree. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are just so grateful to you. We are just so grateful to you because you're awesome God. So I want to ask you, all of you who are just praying, if you're afraid, if you're fearful, and you don't know what to do over this pandemic and crisis, maybe because you don't really have a relationship with God, then you have all the right to be afraid. You don't have personal relationship with Jesus Christ, then yes, you have every reason to be afraid. So I want to give you an opportunity to respond. Every eyes closed, every head bowed, please. You're the only one who can answer to this. If you never ever received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you've never said to you, Lord Jesus, forgive my sins, if you've never done that, this is a chance. This is a chance. You want to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Just go look up, look at me, just lift your hands up. I just want to pray for you and lift your hands. Lift your hand. If you want to accept Jesus Christ, yes. God bless you, yes. Amen. Yes, yes, God bless you.
Thank you, Lord.
Anybody else? If you've never done that, if you never accept Jesus Christ, yes, God bless you, thank you. Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Let me pray for you. Christians, let's pray. Just repeat after me. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, I receive you. I accept your forgiveness. I believe you have died on the cross for me. That was me should be on the cross. But you did that for me. I accept your forgiveness. Come into my heart. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. In Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this new people, you new Christians. Father, thank you in the name of Jesus. That lifts all the glory belongs to you. We give you all the glory, all the honor, power belongs to you, Lord. Thank you for delivering us from this pandemic and coronavirus. And we bind all the work of Satan. We bind this coronavirus. We bind the enemies in the name of Jesus. Be cast out into the sea. Thank you, Lord. Your name is Jehovah Rapha. Thank you for delivering us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen. That's awesome. So we'll just finish next week.